Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome to the Mega Man Radio Show. It is a live show. Today is July 12th, and this is the show I've been waiting for, guys, for a long time. It's my honor and privilege to have on Pastor David Ells from Unleavened Bread Ministries. He will be on with us shortly. So this is the time to tell a friend. If you have not done so, make sure you've got your coffee cup filled up. And it's going to be a great program. We're going to be discussing tonight America and the Church. Where are we going? And then we're going to have a double feature tonight. We'll be back on again at 10:30 p. with Pastor Vincent Xavier. So double feature today. So without further ado, let me go to the phones. Let me get our guest on. Brother Ells, if you can hear me, go ahead and put one into your keypad, and that'll bring you right on the show.
Okay.
There you go. How are you tonight, brothers?
Wonderful. God bless you.
Praise God. Brother Ells, would you go ahead and give out your ministry website for those listening either live or will be listening in the archive on how they can get in touch with your ministry?
Sure. We are unleavenedbreadministries.org. An easier way for some people is americaslastdays.com. That's what we were known as for years. So.
Well, praise God. Brother, listen, I'm going to turn over the mic without further ado. I'm here to listen and learn. So this can be an exciting night. So praise God for you for coming on, and the microphone is yours, brother.
Well, thank you. God bless you. I wasn't sure what to expect, questions or just an open mic. Either way, it's great for me. I appreciate so much this opportunity to talk to God's people. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. You know, God is working all things together for our good. You know, He is sovereign over all things and works all things after the counsel of His own will. We don't have to fear a thing. I'm reminded of when Israel was in Egypt and the judgments were falling upon Egypt. It wasn't for the purpose of destroying Israel. It was for the purpose of giving them a demonstration, granting them repentance, turning them to Him, and restoring the fear of the Lord. In America today, I would say the biggest lack among church people is a loss of the fear of the Lord. And the Lord is getting ready to restore that. He's going to do it by shakings. He's going to do it by bringing the wicked in our stead, bringing judgments, showing us that that He is certainly angry with sin, and before it's all over, He will have a spotless and blemishless church. I'm sad to say that there's a lot of people out there that think there is such a creature on the horizon today. It's just not true. The church isn't ready to meet the Lord today, and if the Lord did come today, many would, of course, not be ready. And God's creation that He planned from the foundation of the world, His church, His bride, would not be ready. But the Lord is merciful. He knows our propensity to create doctrines that soothe our flesh and give peace to the old man while he continues to do his thing. The Lord is also merciful. He is going to ratchet up the judgments between here and the end in order to bring the maximum number of people to repentance. He's also going to bring a great revival that we call the latter rain, which according to Hosea 6, 1, 2, and 3, comes early on the morning of the third day, which is where we are now, the third day from the last Adam. And beginning of the seventh day from the first Adam. And so God is even now judging America. He does all things for the sake of His saints. Some Christians are thinking that God is waiting for America to repent, which will never happen. But the elect will repent. They have a gift from God. We are granted repentance, the Bible says. We are granted a gift of faith, the Bible says. You and I believe because, not because we chose him, but because he chose us, according to his word.
Amen.
And
yes.
We are favored people. You know, we were favored from the foundation of the world to know him. And many are called. Many have get to taste of that favor, but few are chosen. That is those that take advantage of the gift of God and bear fruit. You know, chosen is like when you go out into the field and you pick the fruit. And the Lord one day is going to pick his fruit. It will be ripe. It'll be luscious. It'll be great. But sad to say, there's a lot of trees out there that don't have any fruit on them. And that's not what he's after. He's not after the tree. He's not after the plant. He's after the fruit. How many of you know that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It's not the flesh and blood. It's what God has implanted in it. You know, that's just the tree. That's just the natural. That's just the soil. But what is coming out of this is born-again sons of God. Most of the church doesn't know what born-again means. They don't understand that born-again comes in three main manifestations, spirit and soul, and then ultimately body. Born again is the image of Jesus Christ. That's what born again is. Born again is delivered from sin. The born again man doesn't sin. It's the old man that sins. And the old man is the enemy of God. The Bible says he's at enmity with God. And God is, as you know, making war against that old man in order that your spirit man might be set free to follow him and walk in holiness and the power of God. So what's going to happen to America? You know, I think that some people believe or don't haven't separated in their mind very well the difference between the nation that we live in and in some cases are patriotic towards and the nation that we are really a part of, which is that holy people, that chosen generation that Peter spoke about, that holy nation that he spoke about. And the nation he's talking about is born again, spiritual Israel.
Yes.
Not natural Israel, but born again, spiritual Israel. And, you know, there's an Israel of the Old Testament, and then there's an Israel of God, as Paul spoke about in the New Testament, which is those that are born from above. And born from above is a process whereby the first thing you do is that you receive a born-again spirit so that you can have this connection with God. And then, as you're obedient to that spirit and obedient to the word, you're born again through the incorruptible word. Your soul is born again through the incorruptible word, as Peter said. And, you know, your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. And we are in this process called being born again. And ultimately, if a person's been faithful and born fruit in their soul, they will also receive that new body that the Lord promised to us, likened to his body. So we're in this process called sanctification. It's also called salvation. But how many of you know that we're saved by faith? And faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. You know, we're saved by faith. That means we're calling the things that be not as though they were. Every Christian out there is born again in their spirit, or they wouldn't be a Christian. But only a percentage of their soul has begun to bear the image of Jesus Christ. And many don't understand the need for us to bear fruit. Because the Lord, when he comes, he's coming to pick fruit. He wants the fruit. He doesn't want the plant. He doesn't want the old man. He wants the new man that's born in the image and begotten in the image of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Jesus made stipulations about what a believer was. He said, these signs will accompany them that believe. And the overwhelming majority of Christianity doesn't believe that. They believe they can dictate what a Christian is and who a believer is. But Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. So there you have Jesus telling us what a real believer is. We've got no right to argue with our Lord. You know, he is he's telling us the truth. And religion has lied to us from the very beginning. And an apostasy is overwhelming the church. It is nothing less than the beast manifested in the kingdom of God. The beast in the temple, if you will, in a spiritual way. And he's got to be driven out. And, you know, the Lord is about to do this. The Lord has been telling me for many, many years what he's going to plan, what he has planned to do in these days. He plans to raise up a brand new leadership, a new ministry that is likened to the ministry that has been in the earth before several times. But it will be the greatest manifestation of this, even in Jesus' time, it will be the greatest manifestation because this time it will be worldwide. You know, Jesus came, he dealt with the harlot spirit in his day in apostate Judaism, and he dealt with the beast kingdom in his day in the Roman Empire, and he dealt with the Judas son of perdition spirit in his day. And all these things now are coming back in a corporate way because the Bible says the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. Amen. You know how you know the future? You look at the past. And God will help you to interpret and to translate the past into the here and the now. But if you believe that God's going to do a new thing in history, you got a shock coming because it may be a new thing in your lifetime, but God's not changing things in history. He is repeating them. You know, for instance, there is a beast kingdom out there that's really made up of, according to 1 John, everyone whose spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ is, not has, come in the flesh. That lets you know that everyone who is not born again is a part of the body of Antichrist. You know, there is a body of Christ in the earth today, and there's a body of Antichrist in the earth today.
Amen.
And the two are in total opposition. And, you know, many people are the only thing they understand of the word is what apostate leadership has taught them, who had no eyes to see, only understood the letter, didn't understand the spirit. And even in Jesus' day, this is what blinded God's people to know who he was and what he wanted to do and what his kingdom looked like. They were all deceived about that because the deception was the latter. And Jesus understood in the spirit exactly what was going to happen, but he couldn't get it across to these carnal people because they really did not want to repent. And today, folks, what happened in that Middle Eastern land where Jesus came and wrestled with the beast and the harlot and the son of perdition, is going to happen this time around the world. God is raising up a man-child, as the book of Revelation speaks about. It's not an individual, as it was in Jesus' day. You know, there is the way God manifests prophecy. Many times, the first time it manifests, it is physical. And from thereafter, it becomes spiritual. Israel was the name of a man. And as this man began to continue to procreate, his whole body that came from him was called Israel. And so it is today. You know, there is a Christ in the earth and an Antichrist. We are born from that spirit that came down out of heaven. They are born from that spirit that came up from the pit. And, you know, there's this warfare going on. And riding on top of this world beast is a harlot. And I know that there's two manifestations of this, one religious and one secular. This is probably going to offend some people. I don't know because I really, Shannon, don't know your audience very good. But I will say this, that the secular manifestation of the harlot in the Bible is America. America
Brother Ells,
is a melt.
Don't worry. I've been offending people all week, telling them that we're not getting out of here without some persecution and tribulation. And I didn't mean to cut you short, but I wanted to tell you that, folks, if you're tuning in, this is Pastor David Ells. He is a real man of God. I have been watching his ministry since 2005. And Brother Ells, at that time, I knew what was coming on America. I knew that the martial law was coming. I knew that they had FEMA concentration camps in store for us. I'd looked at the prophecies of Dimitri Dudeman, David Wilkerson, Jonathan Hansen, on the list goes. And I knew that America was headed for some trouble. And, you know, at that point in time, my impulse was, you know, to pick up arms, go buy some beans, bullets, and bullion. And, you know, I said, hey, I'm not going to stand by and allow my country to be invaded. And I said, God, if this is not the right attitude for me to have, I want you to let me know, because what am I to do? Sit still as we're invaded? Mm-hmm. And I prayed. God gave me a word out of the Bible. It said, trust not in chariots and horses, and don't go down to Egypt for your help. I punched it in, Brother Ells, and up came Unleavened Bread Ministries. And I read your article on he that lives by the sword dies by the sword. And the Lord convicted me. Mm-hmm. And he showed me through your ministry that just as he did in the days of Israel when he sent Jeremiah the prophet to warn Israel to repent, or Babylon was going to lay siege to them and take them into captivity, and they didn't repent. And, of course, it happened just like Jeremiah prophesied, that God's going to do the same to America. And when that comes, he's coming to weed the rebellion out of the church. And so we could do a whole program on you pick up the sword, you're going to die by the sword. But I wanted to interject that this is the most timely message we could get, brother, because everybody out there I talk to, they say, well, you know, I'm not worried about revelations. I'm not worried about all that stuff that happens down there because we're not going to be here. You know, my televangelist pastor, where I send my money to, tells me that plant seed with them, God's going to bless me and make me prosperous and a millionaire, and then before all trouble hits, I'm going to be caught out of here. And, you know, I've been debating people all week, brothers, and I've been telling them, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that if they persecuted me, and he was talking about Jesus, if they persecute Jesus, they'll persecute you. Is a servant greater than the master? And, you know, I read, we don't get out of here to the last trumpet, brother. So in my opinion, we're here for the long haul, and some of us are going to go in the camps. Some will be foolish and pick up the sword and die by the sword. There are going to be some that are going to become martyrs. Many are going to be part of the great falling away because they were not prepared. They were lied to by the pastors that did not prepare them to endure till the end. And then there'll be some that will escape all these things. I hope to be in the latter group, but you know, when I tell people, you know, they throw me under the bus and they run the other way. They don't want to hear it. But, you know, if I'm wrong, guys, we get out of here early. If I'm right, you're not going to be prepared, and you're going to be shocked by what's about ready to unfold here in America that Brother L is going to go in tonight. Brother, I better stop before I start preaching. Let me give the microphone back to you.
Well, I believe it's exactly right what you said, and those different groups are definitely here, and I do my very best to help people to grow up in the Lord so that they can escape all these things. He said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. And some people, and of course, some people think that means rapture, but it doesn't mean that at all. The word escape there is ek fuego, and it means to flee out of.
Yes.
And, you know, that throughout the history, as I said before, the things that have been are the things that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun, and there is no place in the Bible that God's people ever escaped the beast kingdom. You know, we're now coming to the seventh and eighth beast kingdoms. And the first, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, God's people didn't escape these beasts. They didn't fly away. They didn't fly away without going through their wilderness. They didn't fly away without going through their persecution. The beast has a purpose. We saw the purpose 2,000 years ago in what the beast did to Jesus Christ. What happened to Jesus will also happen to his body. There has to come a crucifixion of the old man who cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. If a person lives after the flesh, they will die. That's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. We are here to lose our life, Jesus said. And a person who is, prosperity-minded and fleshly-minded, it doesn't mind making up doctrines or accepting doctrines that let the flesh live. But if you do that, you will die. That's what Jesus said. We are here to lose our life. He's talking about our soulish life, our psuche life, our soulish fallen life, in order to gain his heavenly righteous life. And what's going to happen in America, folks, is the same thing that's always happened. America is, those beasts all represent an end-time beast. And corporately, they all represent an end-time beast, too, because the seven heads of the beast in the book of Revelation are talking about not just Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Media Persia and Greece and Rome, but the seed of all of those world-ruling kingdoms that is still with us today. Matter of fact, they're in a one-world order today. It's called the UN. Okay, that has been raised up for the same purpose that the Roman Empire crucified Jesus. They have been raised up for the purpose of delivering us from walking after our flesh and crucifying. I'm not talking necessarily physically, because if you cooperate with God, he will do it in the spirit and not have to do it in the flesh. But, if any is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. It just as Shannon was saying, many people are going to need to go into FEMA camps and whatever and endure persecution and be careful not to deny their Lord before this beast. And that's the only way they're going to be able to enter the kingdom. But other people are going to enter the kingdom because they've been constantly denying themselves, constantly walking the crucified life, and constantly submitting to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, yes, and we've been commanded, by the way. America is the great eagle, and Babylon is at the head of the nations. The head that was smitten has come back. Whether you believe it's Babylon or whether you believe it's Rome, it's still the truth. It's come back. It's been revived. And now this beast empire is a world beast empire because it has the seed in it of all previous empires. Daniel said that their dominion would be taken away, but their lives would be prolonged. He was talking about those beast kingdoms. In other words, they still live today in their seed. But as a kingdom, as a dominion, they passed away. But they're still with us today. And now they're ruling in the UN, and there's a harlot right in the back of this beast. And I know that it is not only apostate Christianity, the harlot is, but also it is talking about America, who has left her first love, the reason that America was formed in the beginning. America's a harlot because she's basically giving in to the seed of men rather than the seed of God. We were betrothed to one husband here, and America has given in to every other kind. It's a melting pot. It's brought in all the different religions of the world. All the Antichrist spirits are here, and it's full of every unclean spirit, as Revelation 18 says, and it's riding the back of this UN beast at this moment. The time will come, of course, when the 10 kings, which are over the 10 continental divisions of planet Earth, will cast her down and burn her with fire. And that doesn't happen until the end of the 7 years. As Babylon itself was destroyed by the bear, the great eagle of Babylon was destroyed by the bear as a type and a shadow of what is going to happen in our day. The bear meaning, of course, I would say it could have two meanings. One of them is, of course, at the head of the nations against America, the Soviet Union, but also the Medo-Persian bear makes up a whole lot of the very people that are warring against America right now. The seed of the Medo-Persian bear is warring against America right now. We're about to begin a new world order. The Lord already has his world order, and it's the body of Christ. But the devil has his world order. that he's bringing together, and it's the beast. It's the body of the beast. And sad to say, most people are looking only for a man instead of this, what the Bible says the Antichrist is. Please look at anything in the Bible about Antichrist, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Nowhere does it say it's an individual. Because, yes, there are heads to this body, just like there is a head to the body of Christ. There are heads. The Bible declares that there will be 10 kings, because this is a corporate body that covers the whole earth. And there is a corporate man-child that's about to come forth, the first fruits of those who come into the image of God. Jesus was a type of it. Joseph was a type of this. Daniel was a type of this. On and on and on. Moses was a type of this. In every age, he's had his man-child that God has used. This time, it's going to be a corporate body of leadership that is going to be birthed from the church at the very beginning of the tribulation period in order to lead the church like Jesus led what he called the church, which is the called out ones. And of course, they were called out of apostate Judaism. And the people nowadays also are being called out of apostate Christianity in order to follow the Lord. Not men, but the Lord. Now, the Lord came in a body of flesh, a body of the Son of David, and he's coming in a body of flesh this time too, in a way that most of the world doesn't understand and doesn't believe. We know he's coming at the end. In fact, the Bible tells us very plainly in Jeremiah 25 that after that 70 years of captivity to the Babylonish harlot, that he said, I will visit you. I will visit you after the 70 years, which is the type of the 7 years in the book of Revelation. The Babylonish harlot back then was, of course, this Babylon, the great eagle, which had subjected the people of God to bondage, had brought them under bondage. In fact, when the New World Order began under Babylon, the first nation they actually brought under the thumb was God's people. Yes. Jeremiah 25 tells you the whole list of nations which America has been battling with even now and is going to subject in some form before the end of the tribulation period, before they all rise up and destroy America. But he said, for lo, I begin to work evil at the city which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished? And of course, he was talking about Babylon. But he used Babylon first to subject Israel, brought them under bondage, under dominion, took away their king, their puppet government, set up a puppet government over them, which the next few chapters in Jeremiah tell you about. And, by the way, folks, America is not going to be a friend of Israel. Every time America turns against Israel, there is a spanking coming, you know. On April the 19th, Obama announced that the U.S. would no longer automatically support Israel. And yes. April the 20th, the Deepwater Horizon exploded. You know, it's consistent. It is consistent. Now, is it natural Israel? Or is it spiritual Israel? Well, listen, there's a remnant among natural Israel who are spiritual Israel. From the foundation of the world, they will be born again. And spiritual Israel also is losing its land to the beast. We're losing ground day by day. I don't know if you've been watching the political horizon here, folks, but guess what? They're changing the laws. They're turning more and more against any kind of moral background that the United States has had. God has put Mr. Obama in there for this purpose. Some people don't believe that, but it's a fact. You read Romans 13, yes. You will find that the Lord put this man in there. He put him in there for this purpose. He is going to, you know, the first thing he does when God's people are no longer of benefit to the world, and the world's of no longer a benefit to God's people, God turns the world against his people. He said he would turn our lovers against us. America is not going to stick with the Christians. It's not going to stick with Israel. Obama's going to turn against Israel. The first ones that are going to lose their political position and power in this world is the right wing, folks. It's going to happen. I know that you're hearing from the conservatives now that there's going to be just a landslide here and everything's going to fall to the right. But I got news for you, folks. It's going to fall further to the left than it's ever been. And
absolutely,
the reason for that is because God Almighty has ordained it. And he's ordained it for the purpose of chastening his people until they will cry out and turn back to him and turn back to his word and stop following these apostate religions and these apostate leaders and repent and turn to him as their Lord. This is going to happen. The tribulation is just that. It's a tribulation for God's people.
Brother Ells, the way I'm hearing this, pretty much America is going to be ground zero for the beast government. Is that correct?
Well, it's the head of the beast. It's the head, in a way, it's the head of the beast. It is definitely going to bring about a persecution of Christianity, and it's going to do it worldwide.
Absolutely. Now, what would be the sign that the 7 years has started? What event should we be looking for?
Well,
my own personal belief is it's got to be pretty close by.
Well, I believe you're right. I believe it's very, very close. And what we're seeing happening right now is preparation for the New World Order. I mean, the New World Order agreement, I believe, is, of course, what the Bible says in Daniel 9, is the beginning of that seven-year agreement. And, you know, the world is coming into unity. And the reason they're coming into unity now is so that they can have unity against the saints. Because he said all nations, you'll be hated of all nations for his name's sake. That is so that his name would be manifested in his saints. And the word name means nature, character, and authority. The reason that God is raising up the beast is the same reason he's always raised up the beast, is because his people are in apostasy. And this beast is going to help us. How many of you know you can't put yourself on the cross very good? The Lord is sending us some help. He's sending us this beast. He told Israel in Jeremiah chapter 27 to submit to Nebuchadnezzar because he was his servant. In fact, let me read that to you. Jeremiah 27, verse 6. And now have I given all of these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field also have I given him to serve him. The beasts of the field, if you want to see in the spirit here, the beasts, all the beast kingdoms served Nebuchadnezzar. He was the head of the nations. He was the head of the New World Order. And, of course, they were called the Great Eagle in Ezekiel 17. The Great Eagle today is America. That is the head of the nations, the head of the beast kingdoms.
Yes.
And listen to what he's saying here, folks, so especially some of you that are patriotic and want to pick up your sword. Listen to the warning of God here. He says, my servant, what is Babylon, this beast kingdom, his servant for? Well, to crucify his people, okay? And the beasts of the field also have I given him to serve him, and all the nations shall serve him and his son's son, until the time of his own land come. And then many nations and great kings shall make him their bondman. So there's a short time that America will rule over the saints for this purpose of crucifying that flesh. And then God is going to bring all the nations against America, and she will fall.
Is that basically Revelation 18:4, where it says, in 1 hour, America, Babylon,
yeah,
or Babylon is destroyed. I believe it's America. Is it when these ten nations kind of they've had all they can have of America, Babylon, and they basically probably nuke us?
Yes, indeed. They cast her down. That is from riding their back and burn her with fire. I mean, this is what's going on. The heavy-handed harlot. You know, they've had enough. You know. You know, folks, I'm not against America. I pray for America. I would love to see all of America saved. It's just not going to happen. But because God has his elect, he has his chosen, and all over the world, these people are going to come out from among them, and be separate, and they're going to serve him in holiness and righteousness and the fear of the Lord. But he says here, he says, and it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom, which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with famine and with pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. But as for you, hearken ye not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreams, nor to your soothsayers, nor to your sorcerers that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. But the nation that shall bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, that nation will I let remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I just say, folks, he that takes the sword will die by the sword. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Yes. And, you know, don't fight. Yes, they are wrong. Yes, they are going in the wrong direction. But, yes, God has given them dominion. Notice the attitude of Daniel, the attitude of Joseph towards the beast kingdoms. They understood. They were not disrespectful, even, to the leadership. They understood that God had given them authority over God's people for a purpose, and they submitted to them because they were submitting to God's authority. Now, self-willed Christians, patriotic Christians, listen, patriotism has killed as many people as religion has.
That's right.
They're both evil spirits. I have to tell you, folks, they're both evil spirits. We shouldn't be patriotic to any kingdom in this world. The Lord Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. See, our kingdom is not of this world. We belong to one holy nation, Peter said. You know, that nation is not a physical nation. It's a spiritual nation. It's worldwide. Our allegiance is to that nation. Our allegiance, you don't pledge allegiance to a nation of this world, a wicked nation of this world. We don't do that. There are saints in years gone by have given their lives because they refused to pledge allegiance to anybody but the Lord himself. And it should be the same with us, folks. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the nation. I'm trying to be respectful to my nation, which is spiritual Israel. And our King David has already come and is sitting upon the throne. We need to submit to him, you know. And there is a war going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men. And we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness that use flesh and blood. You know, we have a power the world doesn't know of, and it hadn't been able to see, because God's people are so caught up in the world and in politics, they don't know where their power is anymore, you know. But God is going to give dominion to his saints that overcome, and the rest are going to fight. And there's going to be a civil war in America, because they're not going to, the worldly Christians are not going to demand, not going to stand for the left wing taking away their rights and their authority and persecuting them. They're not going to stand for it. They are not going to turn the other cheek. They are not going to resist not him this evil. They are not going to leave their sword. They're not going to sit on their sword. And in this way, God is going to cleanse Christianity, because when they rise up, they are going to lose this battle very badly. And I hate to tell you, he said, don't listen to your soothsayers. Don't listen to your prophets. They're all going to lie to you, folks. They're all going to tell you, you can win this thing. We can bring America back. No, it's not going to happen. What God is going to have is going to be coming out of the dirt of America and bearing fruit. You know, God has planted us in this soil for a purpose. He don't want the soil. He wants the fruit. And unless we cooperate with him, we can't bear that.
It's a hard thing to stomach, Brother Ells. In fact, I mean, I battled with it for days. I said, God, how could I just sit by and watch even foreign troops coming in? And, you know, I mean, but then I, you know,
they're
I realized,
here.
You know,
yeah.
This is not World War II, folks. This is not Vietnam. And in this time, we're fighting a different enemy. It's an enemy sent by God to purge the church of rebellion. And just as Jesus told Peter to put down your sword, that is our commandment. He didn't tell us to pick up the sword. He told us to pick up our cross and follow him. And I believe that's what's going on, Brother Ells. I believe there's a sifting of the saints going on right now. I believe that most of the church, if Jesus were to return tomorrow, which he can't because their biblical parameters haven't been met. But let's just say if he did for the sake of argument, they're not going to get into heaven with sin. And the Lord knows that. So he's going to cause the lukewarm church to make a decision. Are we going to serve Christ and obey him, repent? Or are we going to be rebellious and then, you know, we'll be on the other side of the fence. So, I mean, it's a tough thing to stomach. But, again, that's not an option if we want to endure till the end, as I read it. What about fleeing? Can we,
well,
I know we can't pick up
legal.
The sword, can we run?
Yes, we can. We certainly can. Jesus said we could, you know. So, but he didn't want us to wrestle with flesh and blood, but he did tell us we could flee. And he said, you won't have fled through all the cities of Israel until he came, you know, so we know that he's coming before that happens. But
what do you think? Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I was just going to say that this church is going, some of the church is going to elude capture by the grace of God, you know, and some are for captivity, as Revelation 13 clearly says. You know, if they have to go into captivity in order to be saved. They have to face this choice of serving Christ or serving the beast, and the beast is going to bring them to that point and that decision. And this is the only way they'll be able to enter the kingdom. They haven't been able to serve the Lord in their life, and so the Lord is forcing the point. And obviously we have little time left for everybody to make that decision, and he's going to bring people to that decision one way or the other.
What do you think the trigger event will be for the roundup of the church? You know, we've heard people talk about the red-blue list. I mean, when it gets really down to they're coming and putting people in camps, what do you think will have occurred? Do you think it will be a terrorist strike and they'll use Christians as scapegoats? What do you think it might be?
Well,
or would it be actually Christian patriots that do it? What?
Yeah, I think the biggest persecution is going to come when the Christians, many of them, rise up and fight against the government. And as we know from the scriptures, they lost. When they rose up against Babylon, they lost. And the same thing is true now. We've got something that's very peculiar that's about to happen here, I feel, and that is that this, what's been ordained down here in the Gulf, is for the purpose of bringing Christians into captivity. I don't know if you realize it or not, but this thing is coming against the South and the East, which is the Bible Belt. And it is going to end up displacing a lot of people who are opponents of this administration. And it's going to happen before this election. And I believe it was designed that way. I believe that some of these people are going to end up in FEMA camps, and that this will happen in such a way so that they will not be able to oppose this administration.
Wow.
And this is not an accident, folks. This has been prophesied. As a matter of fact, we got dreams on our site of exactly this happening. I don't know if you know it, but 911. Pretty much silenced the left wing. And it reminds you of Michael Boldia's dream about the left wing being bit by the serpent.
Yeah.
And then an orange or red and black diagonally striped serpent, which is the one that's in office right now. That's the colors for communism
socialism?
Communism. Yeah, socialism and the favorite colors of Obama and his wife and all of their children, you know, on the day he was ordained there, that's what they wore. And, you know, the point is that this serpent is going to bite down on the right wing. And folks, I think the bite has already begun here. And the right wing has, you know, thought that it's going to come back into power, but this thing is going to take out the South and the East. It's destroying their economy. It's going to displace people. I mean, we haven't seen the end of this. They're giving us all kind of rosy things on the news, but that's a bunch of garbage. But none of that's going to happen. This thing is already displacing people. It is raining oil, or the components of oil, you know, like benzene and stuff that evaporates out of oil, like hydrogen sulfide and benzene and many other things. I was trained on these chemicals because I worked at Exxon and I worked on equipment that had this stuff in it. So I got a lot of really good training on this stuff. It's deadly poison.
Yes.
And if it gets in your water, it will poison your water. If it gets on your ground, it will kill, you know, anything in your ground that, and you can't eat it. This stuff is going to not only be picked up by hurricanes and dropped on the land wherever these hurricanes go. I know this because when I lived in Pensacola, recently moved out of there, but I lived in Pensacola, and when we had a hurricane would come through there, for instance, it would brown out the grass from salt water. It just picks it up and it drops it on you. Well, guess what's in the salt water now, folks? I mean, and that stuff's poison. If it gets on your grass, it'll brown out and it'll stay browned out. I mean, one of our sisters that works in our ministry, Unleavened Bread Publishing, Doris Hamilton, and her daughter, Kaylee, live up in northwest Texas. A rainstorm went through there about 2 weeks ago. And in the morning, they both got up and were just awed because everything on their property was dark brown.
Wow.
And rain doesn't do that.
That's right.
So, because they were needing the rain, but they weren't needing that rain. And this stuff is going to poison, especially the southeast corridor up through the northeast. It's going to poison the land. It's going to poison the water. It's going to take out the major opponent to this administration, just before election time. You know, you can't do, can't really politic and really can't get your heart and your mind on these things when you got such problems. But we haven't seen the end of this. I don't personally believe that they can fix it. They can stop the top of that well from leaking out around the pipe. They call it a cap. It's not a cap. A cap would cut it totally off. And they can't do that. If they did that, it would just blow out every other place in the well casing, which has already got holes in it. For a fact, we know the well casing has holes in it, and this stuff is just gushing out underneath the seafloor. And I watched the video that was, let's see, on the 24th of the month before last. I watched the video where the camera was pointed over at the wellhead over there, which, by the way, is like five stories tall. They want you to think this is a little thing, and they've got their camera set up in such a way to make you think this is a small thing. It's not really. It's that thing's five stories tall.
Wow.
And they were looking across the water at this wellhead, and suddenly the ground all around ruptured, and oil come bursting up through the ground. Well, there's only one way that can happen. They had to have blown a hole in the well casing. So all there's top shot in their mud that they pumped down in there wasn't doing nothing but going out underneath the seafloor. And now gas is building up under that seafloor. And when it finally ruptures, the cracks are coming in the surface of the seafloor. Cracks are running. And oil and gas is coming up through those fissures. And what's happening is it's pushing up a big bubble that is eventually going to rupture. And when it does, there's going to be one terrible explosion and probably a tsunami that's going to come against the coast. I don't think, and this is things that we've received dreams. We're in a position that we receive a lot of dreams from a lot of people and visions and prophecies from a lot of people. And people have been envisioning this. They've been seeing the rupture. They've been seeing the tidal wave, a black tidal wave. Well, that kind of makes you think of oil being in the water, right? Well, And guess what? Everywhere that stuff goes, listen, you can't get benzene on you. We had to wear hazmat suits when we worked on benzene. And benzene is as clear as that water. If you wade out in that that bubbly-looking water, it looks kind of strange because it's bubbly. Well, that's benzene in the water. If you get that on your skin, naturally speaking, outside of the grace of God, it will go right through your skin into your bloodstream, and it will give you cancer. And it will do a quick job of it, too. And it's very deadly. We had to wear hazmat suits. We couldn't breathe it. We had to wear Scott air packs. Hydrogen sulfide, the same thing. We had to wear Scott air packs. 0.1% of hydrogen sulfide in the air will kill you dead very quickly. You get a whiff of it, and then your senses, it takes out your sense of smell, and the next few whiffs, you're dead. It's just that simple. And when we went on a unit, they had to test the air before we even got close to any piece of equipment to make sure we weren't going to breathe it. And if there was any whiff of that in the air, we had to put Scott air packs on and hazmat suits on. So this is the stuff that's in crude. These poor fishermen out there, they're not telling those people what they're dealing with, and they're lying to them. They don't want the public to see it. Matter of fact, the fishermen that are out there on their shrimp boats and stuff skimming oil have been told, they've told us the same thing. They've been told that if you get around the media, you know, they have told them now recently to put on breathing apparatus and to take it off if the media comes around. So they know it's deadly, and they haven't been telling these people about it. And guess what happens when a hurricane picks that up and drops it on your property, and it's not out there blowing off of the Gulf, you know, miles away, which is the way it was in Pensacola when I was down there. You could get a whiff of it here and there now and then when the wind was right, and you could smell it. And I knew what it smelled like because I dealt with it when I worked for Exxon in Baton Rouge for many years. And I knew exactly what it smelled like, and I knew how deadly it was. And everybody was getting this funny, what they thought was a cold or flu. And it ain't got nothing to do with that. It's not the cold or flu. It's that stuff that aggravates your whole system, and it's deadly poison, and they're not telling people that. So here a hurricane's going to come along and pick that up and drop it all around your house, and you're going to be breathing this stuff, you see, and they're not telling you that, and they know they know what that stuff is.
They're looking, they want casualties too, and so I know the New World Order wants to kill 5.5 billion of us, so I'm sure they look at this as a great opportunity to take some of us out. What can a person do right now if they're listening to say, hey, Brother Ellis, I believe in what you're saying. What can a Christian do who's awake right now?
Well, first thing, you want to be where the Lord wants you to be, and make sure that you check with God. Say, Lord, where do you want me? Is this where you want me? If you're on the Gulf Coast, I would especially check with God, because they're going to have martial law down there, and they're not going to let 40 million unemployed people invade the North.
Wow.
This is not going to happen, folks. They're going to send you to FEMA camps. They're going to do what they did with Katrina in New Orleans. Yeah, they're not going to permit this to happen. And I can tell you, if you're a Christian and you're part of the right wing, they probably will drag their feet, and you'll sit right there in your bureaucratic nightmare and never get out of that thing until Jesus decides you can get out of it.
It'll be
they're trying to take out the right wing.
Yes.
That's what they want to do.
It would be like going into the Superdome, folks. You go in there, you're probably not going to get out anytime soon.
Yeah. So ask God where He wants you, and I don't ever tell people to just do a general thing of fleeing, but ask God where He wants you, and be sure that you listen, because if you're not for captivity, He will guide you through this thing. He will get you out of this thing. I mean, He told us to leave, and our local ministry down there, we knew since 1998 that we were going to be leaving the Gulf and going to Tennessee. We knew that. We didn't know why, and God didn't tell us why. We did know that there would be flooding. We didn't know that there was going to be tidal waves. We knew all these kinds of things, but we didn't know about this oil situation. And when this came along, we saw what was happening. We had dreams and visions about it, and the Lord opened our eyes and helped us to understand that this was the time to move north. If you're down there on the Gulf, listen, they've got martial law over there on the Louisiana coast. I've talked to people over there. They haven't declared martial law, but they're having martial law. They're,
wow.
You know, they're ruling over there, and this is going towards the east. It's going to go, you know, first of all, if the first hurricane that comes and drops this stuff on the land, you cannot breathe this stuff. I prayed for my son and my daughter-in-law. I prayed that the Lord would give them dreams and visions so that they would understand what was happening. Well, my daughter-in-law, after I prayed, got this dream. She had a dream that they were all dying because they could not breathe the air.
Oh, man.
And then she saw that the water had, for some strange reason, come up to the road in front of their house. They lived in Cantonment, which was north of us, actually further away from the beach than we were, and the water had come up to their house. And we've had many dreams about a black tidal wave killing people, and I suggest that this is either a hurricane pushing a storm surge of this oil onto the land, which they can do very easily, or an explosion, which we also expect out in the Gulf, an explosion of that gas pocket that is even now breaking the ground. You know, there's leaks in that well that are coming out underneath the ground, way down underneath the ocean floor, and it's coming up in different places all around that, even as far as off the coast of Florida. It's breaching the ground, and this bubble is going to burst, and if they nuke it, it probably will burst quicker. This may be a rumor. It may be true. It may not be true, but we heard that they have moved the naval vessels out of the Gulf, 40-plus naval vessels out of the Gulf, and that they're down there very close to with their two relief wells, and that it's a possibility that if they see that well is too thin for them to tap into, which, it, you know, that this well casing was 2 inches thick when they began, but months ago they said it was down to 1 inch, and I'm sure it's a lot less than that now. It's being blasted to pieces because the very high velocity of the oil passing through it with the sand and gravel that comes with the crude is just blasting that casing to pieces. And guess what, folks? Think about a 24-inch casing going down through miles of seafloor, puncturing this reservoir, and this stuff blasting up through it until it blasts it to pieces. And then what happens? What is going to happen when the pipe is blasted to pieces? Because this stuff is going through there at a velocity it's not used to when they pump it, you see. So what happens when the pipe is gone? Is the seafloor any resistance to 70,000 pounds of pressure?
God have mercy.
It will blow a hole out of there so quick and so big that there's nothing they can do, you see. So I think we're probably headed towards another disaster here. And anyway, my daughter-in-law was convinced that she and her family needed to get out. And it was amazing because, you know, I've got 5 kids, and some of them are out leading their own life and doing their own thing. But I prayed for them that the Lord would open their eyes and help them to understand the danger that was approaching, and that they wouldn't be caught in captivity, and I mean martial law. Because when this disaster happens, they're going to have martial law, and they're going to be packing people off to their FEMA camps.
God have mercy.
So,
you know, brother, this is only the beginning, isn't it? I mean, we've got at least 7 years to go. If it were to kick off.
Exactly. This is all leading up to that point. I mean, the economy is crumbling under their noses. They're lying about it, obviously. It's crumbling under their noses. I mean, we said a couple of years ago that there was going to be 2 waves. One of them was a recession, and a depression would follow that. And but don't worry, the whole world's going to have a recession, and America will remain on top, even though greatly chastened by a lot of different disasters, it's going to remain on top until the end of the 7 years. And then the nations are going to come in and attack and conquer America. Okay, but for now, what's got to happen is the atmosphere where the whole world will give up their sovereign rights to this one world beast kingdom. And the economy is helping. You noticed what happened when the economy fell into recession. They were all together. You couldn't, I mean, you never saw such unity among the nations as happened when this happened. Well, this is not a recession that's coming. This is a depression that's coming. See? So it is forcing their hand. This disaster in the Gulf in 18 days that oil could actually circle the globe. This stuff is not going to stop there. It's going to go all over the place, and they're not stopping it. And if they do nuke it, they probably will probably make a mistake. Everything they've done so far has been wrong, and they haven't owned up to what they have done that was wrong. And if they nuke it, they're not going to tell you they're going to nuke it. They're just not going to tell you because they don't want to have the liability. If it fails, you know, if it is successful, they'll say, oh, we did this. You know, we nuked it and it was perfect. But if it fails, they want to be able to say, what happened? we had nothing to do with this, you know. So they're not going to tell you if they do that. But
well,
either
you know,
way, yeah, go ahead.
You know, there's a lot of people out there, Brother Ells, that say, well, you know, the government surely has got a contingency plan for us. I mean, when the economy crashes or we've got a national disaster, surely they're going to be passing out food and take care of us, won't they?
Oh, yeah, sure. You'll be in a bread line and you'll have military people feeding you food. Yes, it will happen.
On the way into the concentration camp, folks.
yeah. America can't afford to lose the Gulf Coast, folks. The economy in America cannot afford to lose the Gulf Coast. Over half of the refining capacity for the United States is on the Gulf Coast.
God have mercy.
You know, cities run off of oil and gas. It's just in time food, just in time gasoline, just in time. Everything is shipped in the day before when it's needed. It's not like they got a stockpile. Cities just shut down. All the services shut down if you don't have oil and gas or diesel, you know. There's a pipeline leaving refineries down around Houston and going up the East Coast, and those cities shut down when what was the name of that little dinky hurricane that went through there and put all those refineries, shut all those refineries down and moved some of the rigs and floated them off and all that. It was a little small hurricane. It wasn't even a bad one, you know, but cities on the East Coast turned into ghost towns, folks.
That's right.
Because they weren't getting their gas and diesel that was a lot of them before. So what do you do in a situation like that? Well, I can tell you what they'll do. They'll be martial law, and they'll be feeding you off of military trucks, and it won't be pretty. You know, social services and other city services will all be shut down. You won't want to be in a city in a time like that. You won't want to
live
in a city in a time like that.
A good rule of thumb would be, number one, get out of the Gulf Coast areas and get out of major cities. Am I correct? Because when they start doing the clampdown, it's going to be a major thoroughfares, interstates. So you want to get out as far into the country, the mountains, as you can. Am I correct?
Yeah, there's no solution. If they stop the oil right now, there's no solution for the problem that they've already created. These plumes of oil going east and west and south around the tip of Florida and up the East Coast, these things are hundreds of miles long. And that oil is just going to keep on being picked up. And, you know, when they burn it, folks, it goes up in the air and it comes down somewhere. The rain grabs that stuff and brings it to the ground somewhere. And that's outside of any evaporation that normally happens with the light things that are in the crude. When you take crude and you send it into a refinery, for instance, they heat it up and they call it cracking. They crack it off into these different strains, different from light stuff to heavy stuff. Well, guess what? When it's out there in the ocean, it does the same thing. When you take the pressure, when you take it out from under the pressure, the extreme pressure that it's under, miles beneath the ground, These things start evaporating out of this stuff, and it goes up in the air. And as you know, rain droplets are always formed around impurities. So when rain droplets form around this stuff and drops it on your land, you won't want to eat the crops that grow from that land. You won't want to drink the water that's eventually going to be down in your water table. This is a disaster of great proportions. They have soft soaked it, but it's a major disaster, and it's going
Brother
to
Ells,
poison. Yes.
How do we make it? I mean, I know that tribulation is a long time. I mean, a two-part question. Would it be prudent in using wisdom for a person not only to get out of the major cities, but to start putting back food and water? I started doing that a couple years ago, and then it dawned on me. You know, I think that's using wisdom, but, you know, I can't put back enough food to make it through the tribulation. Or, you know, I've talked to some people which say, you know, we're not going to prepare. What we're going to do is we're going to take it from others at the end of a gun. And then, you know, I was thinking, what if they say more than a week's supply of food is hoarding, and then the government comes and confiscates it? How can a Christian survive these days that are coming and endure through the tribulation?
I think that's a very, very important question. First of all of your hoarding is going to be for naught. I'm just going to tell you, when the Israelites went into the wilderness, and we know what the wilderness is in the book of Revelation, it tells us it's a tribulation. And
yes.
So when they went into the wilderness, they started running out of everything they had. Even their gold, which they'd made an idol of, God made them drink it.
Uh-oh.
You know? So you think you're, well, I'm going to save up my gold. Well, folks, I'm just going to tell you, this is not what God is going to teach us in the wilderness. He's going to teach you how to receive His supply His way. And not because of the gold you carried into the wilderness to be your savior, you know, or the food that you took out there and the water that you took out there that they ran out of in 3 days. You know, how long do you think it's going to last? No, it's not going to lie. This is not what the Lord's going to teach us. We are, here's the most important thing, folks, is that we have not only been delivered of sin, we've been delivered of its curse. Jesus became a curse for us so that we could have Abraham's blessings, Galatians 3 and 13. Jesus bore the curse. We've got to start believing the Bible. He said He would supply our every need according to His riches and glory, and He'll move heaven and earth to do that if we will just believe Him. First of all, you need to believe that you're not under the curse and that you're not a part of this world and that you need to walk in His kingdom and not the kingdom of this world. Walking in His kingdom and in the Spirit, that is, believing in the Word of God, having those spiritual senses that have been exercised to know the difference between right and wrong and between the kingdom and the kingdom of this world. Learning to walk in the Spirit is what is going to be our preservation. You know, the preservation of the Israelites in the wilderness, it didn't come in boxcars out of Egypt. It came out of the sky. It came from heaven, you know. The quail, the manna, the symbolism there is it came from heaven, and it came supernaturally. We've got to learn to live supernaturally. This is our inheritance from the Lord Jesus Christ. He multiplies the fishes and the loaves. He still does it today. I can tell you of many miracles I've seen since the Lord has put me through my own personal wilderness of God multiplying food several times.
Share one of those with us, brother.
Well, I'll tell you, years ago, when I and my wife and my 5 children, we were called out of the Baton Rouge area to go to Pensacola, Florida, and we had no visible means of support, but the Lord told me I was never going to work for man again. This was many, many years ago, and so I endured trials of my faith. I prayed for everything, and I just agreed that God was going to bring it, and I saw Him do it. I saw Him multiply food. One time I saw what made me understand that there's nothing that can stop God from providing your needs, nothing, except your unbelief. And that is, my wife and myself and my 5 children, we had eaten everything in the house. And we didn't have anything, literally. My wife was a genius in making something out of whatever was left, you know, but we'd come to the place where our weakness God's power was made perfect in our weakness. That's what the Bible says. And I thoroughly learned that lesson from the Lord, that there's nothing that can stop God from providing for you. So me and my five children and my wife said, my wife asked me, well, what are we going to do? We don't have anything left in the house. I said, well, set the table. So she set the table, and we all sat around the table, you know, and I prayed my simple prayer. You know, I said, Lord, well, you sent us here, and we're just asking you. This is what came out of my mouth. We're asking you to fill our plates or fill our tummies. And so when I got through speaking, I looked up from my prayer, and my oldest son said, Dad, I'm not hungry.
Wow.
And he said, can I be excused from the table? I said, sure. And before we got through with him, somebody else said, I'm not hungry either. And I was just kind of awed because, you know, my kids had never said they weren't hungry, especially when it was time for a meal, you know. But before I knew it, I was realizing that I wasn't hungry, and my stomach was full too. And,
wow.
The Lord had filled our stomachs and made us feel totally full. And I've seen him actually multiply food in the pot. I've seen him do it. I've watched him do it. You know, my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory. That's what the Bible says. Are we going to believe him? Are we going to act like believers? You know, we should be ashamed of ourselves. You know, unbelief, the evil heart of unbelief is what we need to repent of. Jesus has given us blank checks in the Bible. You know, he said, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. You know, are we going to be a believer or not? You know, should we fear to walk out into a wilderness? Or should we, like the Israelites, try to bring it all with us and find out it won't work?
You know? It'll run out after 3 days, as it did for them.
Exactly so, you know. And so we, you know, don't worry, don't fear. God ordained, God designed this wilderness that we're headed to, folks. The world is not going to want to have anything to do with you. They're going to separate you from their company. They're going to kick you out of your jobs. They're going to plunder your property. They're going to do all these things, but they don't have what you have, and that is you have Jehovah Jireh, you know, the Lord, your supplier. You know, he will meet your needs. All you've got to do is pray and believe and trust in him, and he will meet your needs. And I went through many years of no visible means of support, and the Lord would not permit me to go to work, and I didn't want to anyway. I was enjoying seeing the miracles and everything we prayed for. God would send it. I mean, not always without a trial. I mean, so there was quite a few times we were looking over the cliff, you know, before God answered, you know. But
I've been there,
he always answered. He's always answered. And we're going to learn this lesson. You know, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. If you want to be strong, fine. God will back off and let you handle it. But if you want to be weak and you want to see him do the miracles, then you're going to cease from your works. You're going to enter into the rest, as he calls it in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. And you're going to see him do his mighty works. We're going to see his power, not because we're powerful, but because we're weak. And we're willing to be weak, but we're willing to believe. Be weak, but believe. You know, the wilderness is a place of weakness. If you go into the wilderness, there's no visible means of support there, folks. That's what wildernesses are all about. You know, where is this going to come from? It's going to come out of heaven. God has promised to supply your needs. He will do it. Trust him. And if you understand that you are not under the curse, this is a major step forward here. You are not under the curse of this world. You know the curse, Deuteronomy 28, it's enumerated. It's just about everything there mentioned is contrary to man, contrary to well-being, contrary to blessing, and has come upon man because of sin. And yet God tells us in Galatians 3 and 15 that the Lord bore this upon himself. He not only bore the curse of this, he not only bore the sin, but he bore the curse of sin and of death. And we have to believe this. This is the word of the Lord. You know, when the world is telling you to store up your bullets and to store up your food and to store up your water. And how many of you found out during Y2K that when you went in there and looked at that food, it bred worms, exactly like it did for the for the children of Israel. You know,
wow,
how many of you
true.
Found that out? And it's because it's the word of the Lord. You know, God didn't care, didn't want you to do that. He wasn't interested in you doing that. He just wants you to continue to trust Him, put your faith in Him. You know, God, you have a. When I was a very young Christian, I learned that I wasn't under the curse. And if I got mold in my yard, I would command it to leave in the name of Jesus, because I knew it didn't have any right to be in my yard. I was a servant of the Lord, and I was serving Him to the very best of my ability. And if anything happened to my trees, I'd pray for them. If the moles come into my yard, I'd run them out. If the ants would come into my yard, I'd run them out in the name of Jesus. They didn't have
yeah.
any right there. I'm not under no curse. And so anything that resembled a curse, I learned that you can come against it in your faith, and God will serve you. And you don't need all the poisons of man to poison your crops and your water and your everything, because that's what happens, you know. You don't need all of that. You just need faith in God. And God is going to show you. He's going to lead you in this bold faith. There's one thing that pleases God is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. The church has faith in everything but Him. They don't act like believers. What would you act like? How would you act if you, I mean, practice this. How would you act? What would you say if you actually believed Mark 11 and 24? That all things that you pray and ask for, believe you receive them and you shall have them. What would you act like? What would you say? What would your words sound like if you actually believed that?
It's an awesome promise.
Well, that's where we're going. That's where we're going, folks. That's where we're going. We're going to be believers. That's the problem. The church hadn't been believers. I mean, they called it Christianity, but in the Bible, they were believers. And so, I mean, this, God puts a high premium on us believing His word. He accounts righteousness to those that believe His word. Abraham was His friend because Abraham believed His word. What did Abraham's having a son that would be an heir have to do with salvation, for instance? But God declared Himself to be the friend of Abraham and declared Abraham to be righteous because He believed Him on that one promise. You know, what about all the other promises that we've got? You know, are we sons of Abraham or what? You know, well, you can't prove it by a lot of people's actions, you know.
That's right.
We're going to be believers before this is over. We're not going to recognize ourselves before this is over. The
Brother
church
Hal,
is going to be a glorious church.
Someone listening out there, either live or archive, and by the way, if you're tuning in, folks, this is Pastor David Ells of Unleavened Bread Ministries. UnleavenedBreadMinistries.org. Is that correct, Brother Ells?
Yes. That's
your
right.
website. And listen, I know the word says, when I read Revelation, it says the patience and the faith of the saints. It keeps repeating that. And watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. For someone listening out there that says, Brother Ellis, how do I get numbered in one of those that that can escape the camps, escape the sword, and maybe be alive to see Jesus returning in the clouds? I know if God calls someone to be a martyr, you know, praise God, there's a martyr's crown. And many of us will probably go that route. I mean, 11 of the 12 disciples all, you know, gave their lives for Christ. You know, boiled in oil, hung upside down, so we need better. But I do know that some escape. What do you think that type of believer's life would be to enable them maybe to be part of those that make it through all this that's coming?
Well, I think what we need is to go back and to believe the gospel. The gospel has been lost in just accept Jesus type Christianity, which is totally nothing in the Bible about that. We're demanded in the Bible to repent and believe. That's what we're demanded. And the church has forgotten this. They've forgotten the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus already bore the curse for you. You don't have to put up with it now. Jesus already took away your sins. You don't have to put up with them now. Jesus already healed your body, by whose stripes you were healed. He already healed your body. You don't have to put up with sickness now. we've forgotten the good news. We, in fact, in most churches, you never hear the good news because they don't
True.
Know what it is. They've made up their own good news. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, what if he don't accept you?
Wow.
So the whole point is, he doesn't accept the old man. He don't accept his religion. He don't accept his Christianity. The only thing he wants is the manifestation of sons of God. This is what we're here for, you know. He doesn't accept you making up your rules as you go along. He doesn't accept that. We have to repent, change our mind, believe what he says to believe. This is what a believer is. And listen, something glorious is going to happen in our day to those people who believe that it's no longer they that live, it's Christ that lives in them. Do you believe that? That's the gospel. You don't live anymore because you were crucified with Christ. You don't live anymore. You don't have a problem with sin. You might have a problem with unbelief, but you don't have a problem with sin. Jesus already dealt with that. He nailed it to the cross. Your sin nature no longer exists. You as the old man no longer exist. You are crucified with Christ. It's no longer you that live. It's Christ that lives in you. This is the faith of the gospel. I don't live anymore. Jesus lives in me. This is the faith of the gospel. This is the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. God can do something with this confession. He can create Jesus in you. This is his plan. And even the Apostle Paul spoke about this happening in our day. He said it wasn't even happening in his day. You know, let me read something to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 10, and says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. See, we know Jesus is coming in the air, but he's not coming in the air till he comes in his saints. And I'm just sad that most people don't understand that. They're wasting their time waiting upon Jesus. They've got work to do. It says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believed. Because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. When is the church finally going to believe the testimony that was given? Well, it's going to happen in that day. And Jesus is going to be walking around in his saints. The Bible says, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory.
Brother
Listen
Ells.
To what he says. That's what he says. Look, we're beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That's blasphemous, David. Oh, no. This came straight from God. It's the real gospel. We don't live anymore. Jesus lives in us. Do you think Jesus is going to have any trouble with this tribulation?
No.
He's not going to have any trouble with this tribulation. Now, what you got to decide is, you were crucified with Christ. Your sins were taken away and nailed on that tree. You don't have a problem with them anymore. That same Jesus now lives in you. Speak it by faith. Speak the end from the beginning. Call the things that be not as though they were. You know, agree with the gospel. This is what brings Christ to be glorified in his saints. I'm going to read this again. It says, when he shall come to be glorified. How do you do this? You grow into his image from glory to glory. While you're looking in the mirror, seeing Jesus. I'm not talking about a physical mirror. I'm talking about in your imagination, in your faith. You see that Jesus lives in you, that you don't live anymore, but Jesus lives in you. This is what the Apostle Paul said was the gospel. So he said, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believe. They're going to marvel at Christ in you when you discover the real gospel and begin to believe it and act upon it and speak it. Hold fast the confession of your hope that, waver not, he is faithful that promised, the Bible says. And he will come to be glorified. The whole reason for Christianity is not so that you live the Christian life. It's so that Christ in you lives the Christian life. He has no problem with the Christian life. He has no problem with the curse. He has no problem with sin. when he comes to live in you, there will be no problem with these things, because that's his whole point, is the body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ, saints? Are you the body of Christ? Have you really manifestly become the body of Christ? Because who lives in the body of Christ? Christ does. Christ does. And before God is through, Jesus is going to be glorified in his saints and marveled at in all those that believed, because the testimony that Paul gave unto us in the Word is finally going to be believed. And he says, to which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling. And what did he say, if you be counted worthy? To escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man? Yeah. Okay, listen to this verse again. To which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God, because it is according to his grace. It's according to your faith in his grace, right?
That's right. So this is not a time to be fearful. This is a time to do what Jesus said, occupy till I come. And he wasn't talking about just sitting on a church bench. He was talking about getting involved in ministry, evangelizing, casting out demons, laying hands on the sick, raising the dead, I believe, is coming, and going about working for the Lord. I mean, I believe it's those people that are actually doing ministry and working for the Lord that are going to, you know, God's going to say, hey, I don't think I need to send him to the camp. I think I'm going to keep him out. Didn't you see, brother, a vision of people going out two by two and actually going into the camps and bringing out believers? Speak on that a minute.
Well, that's what's going to happen. You know, the man-child, I told you about the corporate man-child ministry. The man-child ministry raised up the two witnesses. Remember what Jesus did. Jesus was the first New Testament man-child, born of the woman, born of Israel, born of Mary, you know, born of the woman. And what did he do? Well, the first thing he did was probably not good sense according to modern day theology. That is, he deposited himself in 12 faithful men. And he spent so much time with these people in order to put himself in them. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Those words that he spoke went into them and recreated himself in them. And the Word of God has the same effect upon you when you believe it. It recreates in you Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. So there's no one that ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Nobody's going to heaven but the one who has come out of heaven. That is Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the part of you that's going to heaven, you see. And so these are the people that the whole creation is waiting for. The manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation is waiting for them. And when is this going to happen? It's going to happen in these days of tribulation. First thing that's going to happen is people are going to have a healthy disrespect for dead religion. You're going to depart. You're going to come out of those dead apostate religions that have lied to you from the beginning and kept you from the glorious gospel and denied so many things that the Lord himself has said. Listen, go home and read your Bibles, folks. You can't get it any better than from Peter, James, John, Jesus. You can't get it any better from them. You can't get it in these apostate churches. Get the truth. You know, go straight to the truth. Get the truth. And find out where you've been lied to. The gospel is powerful. You know, it is powerful to save in every circumstance, in every situation. It is the good news of what the Lord has already accomplished at the cross. It's already accomplished. Your provision is totally complete. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant that. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He meant that. It happened there. It took place there. So many people are looking forward, waiting for Jesus to do something in the future. You need to turn around and look back at the cross and find out that it already happened back there. Everything that you can ask God for was provided back there. And it is all written. You know, find out the real good news that they're trying so hard to hide from you. And find out and get that in your heart. You'll be prepared in the days to come. God is going to be your provision in the days to come. He wants to prove himself strong. He said to Paul, "My power is made perfect in weakness." Paul found himself in so many situations where he needed the salvation of God. And God was there. Because when Paul was weak, the Lord was strong. You know, you can have faith in God when you quit having faith in yourself, when you quit having faith in your ability to save yourself. We've been trained up with that. It's kind of hard to get it out of us. We've got to redirect our attention towards him and towards the cross and towards what has already been provided for us. This is how it comes from God. So many people are so self-confident, they don't have any God confidence. You know, they're so self-confident. I can handle it. I've been trained to take care of myself. I've been trained to, in every situation, with my ingenuity, to get myself out of it. Well, folks, when you come to God, he doesn't let you get yourself out of it anymore. He puts you in a little corner sometimes,
and that's true. All
of your methods fail. All of your methods fail, and you begin to turn to him and the Word in desperation, you know, and he knows that because it's the last choice.
I will attest to that. I've shared this before. I found myself one time with 35 cents to my name. I could not even afford a broom. I was so poor to sweep my floor. And I said, "God, I've got about two more days left on this trolley car." I was out in San Diego area at the time. I said, "I'll look for a job, and then I'm dead. I will have no food." And you know, it was. I just said, "God, I sell out to you 100%." And that's when the miracle happened. You know, call came in for a job, and that led to a permanent job, and you know, it was a miracle after that. So praise God. I got a couple other questions. We got about 25 minutes remaining. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Pastor David Ells of Unleavened Bread Ministries. Check out his website. We've also got it posted up in our links. Brother, two questions for you. I'm really curious to find an answer out on. Is it possible that the current president, we got Obama, may be the last president that we see, and he actually controls this beast empire? Is that possible? And number two question is, does America invade Israel and basically say, "Hey, we're going to take over now, and we're going to split the Temple Mount and give part to the Jews and part to the Palestinians"? I mean, is that a possible scenario?
Okay, let's see. What was the first question?
could we see Obama as the last president?
Obama, yes.
I see him. Yeah. The elections occur, I guess, November 2012, which is interesting.
Well, if you notice the verse that we read in Jeremiah 27, Nebuchadnezzar and his son and his son's son. Because of the false doctrine that some man is the Antichrist, when the Bible, like I said, all you got to do is go look up Antichrist in your concordance and go look and see what it says, and it will tell you that everyone whose spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in that flesh, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. And you'll notice that he's saying a whole corporate body of people is the Antichrist. Okay, so Obama, here's what's going to, I think, cause people to go back and reexamine the scriptures, is there's not just one president left. Obama's going to make it a while, and he'll probably be assassinated, and somebody's going to take his place. You know, even Babylon, it was Nebuchadnezzar and his son and his son's son. And then the kingdom fell. The kingdom of Babylon fell to the Medo-Persian bear. And the same thing is going to happen here, folks. There's going to be other people in there. But when people discover, okay, Obama wasn't the Antichrist because he didn't fulfill everything that they thought the Antichrist would fulfill. You know, first of all, what is the temple? in 2 Thessalonians. The temple there is never used in the Bible for a physical temple. It was always used for the body of Christ.
Ah.
Where is the beast in the body of Christ, folks? Where is he manifested? Where is the son of perdition manifested in the body of Christ? Yeah, that's right. Right in the middle of your church, the beast is manifested there. And these people are going to be Judases unto you, just like Judas was called the son of perdition, you know?
Oh, that's true.
So, listen, while you're looking at this one man that's supposed to come along and conquer the whole world and rule for 7 years, you're going to find out that's a bunch of baloney.
David?
And that's just the letter. That's all it is. It's the letter. The beast is being manifested all around us right now. The beast has never even left. But their kingdom is coming together. Their unity is coming together. The seven heads and the ten horns is coming together. And it's going to be coming together for the purpose of persecuting the saints. And we need to repent. You know, if we want to escape, we need to thoroughly repent and turn to the Lord in faith and walk the crucified life. Nobody is going to escape death. Nobody is going to escape death. You say, but David, what about the rapture? Well, yeah, but the reason these people are going to be raptured is because they're dead. They're dead. You know, we are here to die. We're here to lose our life. There's no way out of it. You know, if you won't die spiritually to self, you'll have to die physically in order to enter the kingdom. You'll have to die to enter the kingdom. If you will not give up your life so that you spiritually are crucified to self, then you'll have to give up your life and be crucified physically and in order to enter the kingdom.
We've got
so
to surrender our life
no
one way or the other.
Absolutely. There's no escaping death. None. We go through death, burial, and resurrection. We're baptized into Christ for the purpose of death, burial, and resurrection. You know,
Shannon?
Pray to God. Pray to God that this will mean the spiritual death to self that the Lord is talking about. I mean, if he has to put you to death to put self to death, he'll do it. But if you're not going to cooperate with him, he certainly still wants you in his kingdom, and he will certainly bring you through a more literal crucifixion in order to bring it to pass. He loves you, you know.
Go ahead, Peter.
I got a question for David. You mentioned the verse 2 Thessalonians 2:4. And I know from my own experience that it's a huge jump for somebody who's waking up to the Spirit to read the Bible and not read the letter but the Spirit. Why can't we go there to that verse? And can you please explain how this heresy came into the apostate church that this would be a single person and what actually the temple is? How can we interpret it, how can we translate this verse into the Spirit? David?
Well, okay, well, you know that the son of perdition was identified in the Gospels as Judas Iscariot. He sat in the temple of God, but he was his own God. Self was his God. He exalted himself, verse 4. And he exalted himself against the true God, Jesus Christ. And, you know, what happened there is only a type and shadow of what's going to happen worldwide. In the midst of the body of Christ, which is the temple of God, there is a portion of the beast. And why do I say that? Well, because the beast is everyone whose spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ lives in their flesh. Okay? That's everyone. But in the body of Christ, there is such a person too. That's why that person is called the son of perdition. Jesus said, didn't I choose you 12, and one of you is of the evil one, right? And so this Judas, who was hidden in the body of Christ, in the temple of God, was manifested. It was proven who he was after the Last Supper. In the body of Christ today, there is a corporate body of people that God calls the son of perdition. And Dan was one of the 12 patriarchs, just like Judas was one of the 12 patriarchs that fell away. And so Judas walked in the steps of his father, Dan. And So in our day, there is also a corporate body of people that are mixed among the body of Christ. And during tribulation, these people are going to come out. They're going to be proven to be anything but Christians. In fact, you've probably seen them already. In fact, they've probably persecuted you already. You know, because when the chips are down, these people will turn against you. They will persecute you. They will not hold up in tribulation. They will not stand with the word of God. They'll justify themselves like Judas did. And so there is this falling away. The Bible says that the son of perdition is not revealed there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 until the falling away come first. Well, when was Judas revealed? When he fell away. When Satan entered into him.
Mm-hmm. Why can it not be the temple in Jerusalem?
Well, because
like many people
this
believe,
word,
they wait for the reconstruction of the third temple.
Okay. Well, nine times the word naos is used by the Apostle Paul, and he never used it as the physical temple. The physical temple, the word that was used there is Kyrion. And in this case, he's talking about the naos. He's not talking about the Kyrion. This temple he's talking about here is the body of Christ. It has nothing to do with any building. You know, the Lord does not dwell in temples made with hands. So if the Jews made a temple, would it be holy? The answer is no. Would their sacrifices be accepted? The answer is no. They have not accepted the only sacrifice that God accepts, Jesus Christ. And if they make a temple, fine. But it's only a type and a shadow of the real temple, and that's the body of Christ. The only temple that can have an abomination that maketh desolate is the body of Christ. The only temple that has a continual burnt offering is the body of Christ. Their temple, which was destroyed years and years ago, will never be holy again. God will never dwell in it. It can never have an abomination that maketh desolate, because it's already desolate. Jesus said, I leave your temple unto you desolate. So therefore, they can't build a temple that can have an abomination of desolation. The only temple that has the Christ in it that can have an abomination that maketh it desolate is the body of Christ. Listen. When Jesus came, several things changed. You remember Daniel's revelation in Daniel chapter 9, 26, 27? That the last week, what happened at the beginning of the last week that changes everything? Well, number one, first of all, he said 70 weeks is determined upon thy people and thy holy city. Two things changed when Jesus came, his people and his holy city. The city of Jerusalem is no longer holy. I defy anybody to show me that in the scriptures. The last time it was called the holy city was when Jesus was crucified, and thereafter it was never spoken of as holy in the scriptures. And Paul even called it, you know, in Galatians chapter 4, very unholy. As a matter of fact, he said that those that worshiped there were like the handmaid and not the free woman. And we're not sons of the handmaid, but of the free woman. So he likened it to those in bondage, not those that were free. And so it's never called the holy city again, because we are the holy city, born out of heaven. I mean, you see the holy city coming down out of heaven from God in Revelation chapter 3 and in Revelation chapter 22. You see the holy city, but the holy city is not a physical city. It is the bride of Christ. It is Zion. It is Jerusalem. It is that heavenly Jerusalem that Paul spoke about in Hebrews chapter 12. He said, you have come unto a city and unto a mountain, not one that can be touched. Why did he say that? Because it's not physical. I mean, God is rebuilding the Israel of God, but it's not physical. Our King David is not physically King David. You know, our New Jerusalem is not physically a building because God doesn't dwell in building made with men's hands. So the people changed and the city changed. You know, he told Daniel, he said, you wait till the end of these days and then you'll stand in your lot. Who is Daniel's brother? Who is Daniel's lot? Is it the lost Jews that refuse to be born again and spit upon the name of Jesus? Absolutely not. They're not brothers of Daniel. Daniel's my brother. We're sons of Abraham through faith. We've been grafted into the olive tree. They have been broken off through unbelief. This is what the Bible says. So two things changed in Daniel's prophecy that people are not recognizing. That is, when Jesus came, the city changed and the people changed. So now the prophecy is determined upon thy people and thy holy city. So you see, the letter has deceived them again. It deceived them when Jesus came because they were looking for a prince to come and rule over the Romans for them. Instead, all he wanted to do was rule over their flesh and rule over the beast that dwelled in them. You know, they only saw the letter and it deceived them. And so, today, the Christianity is making the exact same mistake. History keeps on repeating. They are being deceived by the letter. The Bible tells us in Revelation who it is. Let me read this to you. This is very important. Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to start in verse 19. It says in verse 10, 19 and 10, and I fell down before his feet to worship him, and he saith unto me, see thou do it not. I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren that hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy, not the letter. You know, the people that believe these beasts are going to show up physically, you know, because of some genetic manipulation. Listen, this is so silly stuff. It's so silly. You know, they should really not be, they should repent, you know. But in Revelation 20 and 4, it says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, which is what? The spirit of prophecy. Why was Jesus and his disciples killed? By Judaism. Why were they killed? Because the Judaizers understood only the letter, and Jesus spoke only the spirit, and his disciples did too. They killed him for it. And here it says they're beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. The people that are going to believe the truth because God has opened their eyes are going to be persecuted by those that believe the letter.
Do you think it will be the Muslims? Because their modus operandi is, you know, cutting people's heads off. Do you think Islam is going to actually be in control of the world as this plays out?
Oh, I definitely believe that they are part of the beast and they will persecute and they will kill Christians. But the people that have killed all of the prophets have been God's people.
Wow.
And what's coming in our day is what we loosely call Christianity, turning upon those saints who have the revelation of the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of the prophecy. And they're going to call them heretics, like they did in Jesus' day. Jesus was a heretic, you know.
So the great falling away will be comprised of the lukewarm Christians that then turn against the true believer.
Yes. Yes.
Where is Israel in all
this? It's always been that way.
I mean, I had a report email the other day. It said it looks like there's getting ready to be a war breakout in Lebanon. Syria has been placing Scud missiles over there. Where is Israel in all this? What can we look for to happen over there?
They're God's timepiece. I mean, what happens to them in the letter happens to us in the spirit. I mean, Jeremiah 25 is really plain that Babylon conquered those exact nations, and the first one that fell was Israel itself. As you can see, they are personally trying to take control over Israel right now. And the nations that are mentioned there in Jeremiah 25 are these very nations that America is going to, in one form or another, conquer. I believe
well, we
that
see...
there's going to be a...
Go ahead, bro.
Well, I believe that that America is causing wars between some of these nations. Some of these nations are falling because they're in the middle stirring up the stink between them and causing this to happen. And not only that, this next world war that's coming upon the scene right now, there's going to be nukes going off. There's going to be a great crushing of nations that are going to cry out to God. There's going to be a revival because of the evil things that America is going to do in the world. And the persecution they're going to bring upon the saints. And, you know, I know it's hard to talk to patriotic Americans that their country is anything but good. But there is no nation in this world that is following God. Not one. It's never been so. The only nation that's following God and is a part of his kingdom is what Peter spoke about, the holy nation. He said, ye, talking about Christians, you are that holy nation. We are one nation under God. We, Christians, are one nation under God. We are New Testament spiritual Israel. And this nation that we dwell in, it's a nation of lost people. It's a nation of a beast. It's a nation of a harlot system that is ruling over the world beast. It's anything but good. I mean, even Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. You
know? Well, we see a war with Iran. Well, we actually, America would actually stand by Israel or take over Israel over there. I mean, what do you think is the next thing we're looking at in terms of a war? I hear Iran being mentioned. I hear Venezuela. What do you think the next battle is to occur on a big scale?
Well, the big war with Iran is going to be just before Babylon falls. That's when the big war with Iran, because that's history. That's how it happened. I mean, if you go back and read, you'll see that Iran fell just before Babylon fell. Okay, so what's going to happen here, I believe, is that we're going to have a skirmish with Iran before the tribulation.
Okay.
And this war that's going to start is going to bring in the New World Order because of the fear of what is coming upon the world. You know, every time a New World Order comes, it's because an old World Order fell. You know, the League of Nations came because there was a world war, and it scared everybody so much they said they needed a peace, a man of peace, so to speak. And but it didn't work because World War II came, and then they said we need to strengthen this man of peace, and so they created the UN. But it's not going to work because World War III is going to come, and so what's going to come after World War III? The dragon of Revelation 12. See, history just keeps repeating. So, I mean, the things that are happening now are going to bring the new world order and the persecution upon the saints, and that's just history repeating. History
with America,
just repeats.
America on top of the heap until the very end, huh?
Yeah, even though the heap is getting weaker and weaker, and the curse is devouring nation after nation after nation. I'm not saying that America is not going to be hit from the left and hit from the right and hit from every way. It's going to be continually weakened, even from within, all the way up until the time she falls to the Russians and the Chinese and the nations that are following them.
Wow.
And this will definitely happen at the end of the tribulation period.
Boy, we just scratched the surface. We've got about 3 minutes left. I've got to get you back on. We've got so many more questions. Let me fire off one more. Will Israel be overrun in the short-term future and be under control before Jesus returns?
Well, there's a story in Ezekiel 17. You know, we don't have time to go into it today, but if you go and study there, you will see that Israel was taken into captivity to the great eagle. They took away their government, and they set up a puppet government.
Uh-oh.
And this puppet government later rebelled in the midst of their tribulation, and the beast came in and destroyed them. And so that's the story there. The great eagle fights with the great eagle. There's another story there of a civil war in America. When you see the two great eagles fighting together, that's talking about a civil war in America. And guess what? The tribulation is there. The breaking of the covenant in the middle of the tribulation is there. The whole story is there in Ezekiel 17. The whole story of what's going to come is right there.
Brother,
the
great eagle for those
is America.
For those tuning in right now that want to get a hold of this teaching, where can they go to get your books and to start tuning into your weekly programs?
Well, you can go to our website, either americaslastdays.com or unleavenedbreadministries.org. And everything is there. All of our materials are there freely. You can, you know, receive books. You can read materials. You can watch videos. And you can spend months and months and months and never get to the end of the teachings that we've put on there. So it'll keep you busy if you go there.
Folks, I'd encourage you to go over to Unleavened Bread Ministries. Start downloading the audios, the books up there from Pastor Ells. Support Unleavened Bread Ministries. I believe Brother Ells is on target, has been preaching the truth tonight, and it's time we wake up, and it'd be well worth your while to do that while the internet is still up, I might add.
Yes.
God bless you, Brother Ells. I will say that it's very interesting. I woke up this morning, and I stayed up late last night, and I looked at my alarm clock, and I saw 9-11. I've been seeing 911 everywhere I look. I believe we're in the midst of that, and there was also a word that said restoration in Tennessee. I got this about 6 months ago, and I said, I don't know anybody up in Tennessee. And then, wait a minute, I said, wait a minute. I think UBM's up there, so I may see you before too long, brother.
All right. God bless you. The Lord is sending a lot of Christians to Tennessee. I know he's shown us that he's going to begin something very great there. Really, really great there.
God bless you again. Get some rest, and we look forward to having you on again really soon, Brother Ells. Thank you so much
All right.
for coming on tonight.
All right. Thank you so much, Shannon, and God bless you, and God bless you, saints, too.
God bless you.